Hello, hi Shannon. We're here actually. It's the last day of the season. Who would have thought,
In July.
in July? Well, who would have thought after what happened in Feb and March that we'd ever see football again this year? And here we are, going into the final day with the chance of going into the Champions League.
Going into the final day in third,
In
may I
third,
add?
life's not that bad after all, right?
Yeah, some rare silver lining for this year.
Yeah, I mean it could all go wrong and we could end up fifth, but we still have one more day of glory, right?
Yeah,
At the bare
it's
minimum.
at the bare minimum. Yes, I guess jumping straight to the point.
Oh, I like how you're getting to the point today. So we're not wasting time today like
No,
we
we're
generally
not.
do.
We're
Okay.
just cutting out all the fat, just keeping it lean.
Nice. Sounds
anyway,
just like anyways, go on.
what did you make of? I mean, the last time we spoke, we were on this massive high. We, as in United, if for folks who haven't heard us before,
Oh, I doubt there's any.
a massive high from a run of clean sheets, a run of unbeaten games. Unfortunately, that unbeaten run is over versus Chelsea in the FA Cup, but still 13 games unbeaten in the Premier League. Now, ending game week 37 in the third spot. Who would have thought? Right, said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's more of
Fernandez.
Bruno Fernandes, right? One man show. I think it's more of the other teams continuing to not perform week in, week out, where we've landed up in this third spot. If we had the Arsenals and the Spurs performing anywhere close to what they should be performing to, we'd not be close to the Champions League spots right now. So, I mean,
Even Leicester and Chelsea being even remote consistent.
Exactly, right? I mean, before the lockdown, Leicester were way clear of the rest of the lot. And
Yeah, I think if I'm not wrong, United made up a ground of 16 points over 14 games,
right.
which is
And
insane. Which is just, you think about it, that's literally 1 point a game that Leicester has accrued less than United over. Slightly half the, I mean, less than half a season, right?
right, so Leicester have messed up time and again over the last month or so, whatever it has been. And
It's deja vu for Brendan Rodgers after.
no, I wouldn't say that. I think it's still too early. Let's wait a day, right? It's basically one game, and it's like the cup final or whatever final you want to call it. Whoever's better on that day gets into the Champions League, and a lot rides on that game for both teams, especially United.
Yeah, but it's again, these inconsistencies from Leicester and Chelsea seem to have allowed United one final buffer. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
Yeah.
far, 10, 12 games, there was like zero margin for error. Should not do worse than what the other two teams have done, which, to United's credit, they did. Some were lackluster performances, some were very convincing, but they kept accruing those points that were needed. And now, still, after being behind for a whole year, it's literally in their hands.
I wouldn't say Chelsea and Leicester have been inconsistent. I think Leicester have been consistently bad after the lockdown. I'll be very honest. I mean, as far as the attack, they're good defensively, no doubt about that. But as far as their attacking threat, I mean, up until a few games back, I mean, Jamie Vardy just wasn't scoring. There's no drive in that midfield. Madison is out. Chilwell is out. So
They
they're missing.
basically lost both their creative fullbacks
Exactly.
and their most creative midfielder.
Right. So I think Leicester have been consistently bad after the lockdown. And
Understandably so. Like,
understandably so. I think they were overachieving, if I can say that, before the lockdown. Chelsea, it's on and off, right? The kind of players they have one of the best midfields, I would say, and it'll even get better. I think Chelsea's problem is the defense and the striker. And there's a game where Marcus Alonso plays and they'll concede. There's a game that Zuma plays, they'll concede. There's a game that Giroud's rested, Tammy Abraham plays, they'll not score. So I think that's where the inconsistency shows. And that's understandable with three games a week that most of the teams have had. I don't think Chelsea have the squad depth. I think that's going to be wiped out next season. I think they'll have an amazing squad with Ziyech, Werner, with Kai Havertz possibly coming in now that Leo Sané has announced it. And if they get a defender or so, like I said, I mean, they'll be great. But now, you know, they have to get into the Champions League with all these players coming in. United, on the other hand, I think we've, as good as we've done after the lockdown to get to where we are, and kudos to Mason Greenwood, Bruno Fernandes, but I still think we shouldn't have let it come to the last day. We had it in our hands on a couple of occasions. We should have had top four done and dusted by now. We should have qualified.
True. The fixture pileup didn't help. And the fact that Ole used the same 11 through that pileup definitely didn't help.
I think that was very... I understand why he wants to play the best players game in, game out. But somewhere...
Again, there was no margin for error.
There was
right?
no margin for error, but somewhere I got the sense that he just didn't trust the squad depth. Understandably so.
Yeah.
Understandably
I mean, from the roster, you know, or from the bench...
He's the also only... American right now.
The squad. the only person I could bring... I could say confidently that he could bring on and who would help the team would be Gallo.
Right.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't trust Andreas. I wouldn't trust Lingard. There's literally no other midfield option at this point. So I get why Ole did the reason why he did it. And then he goes and rotates heavily for the FA Cup semi-final, which again he gets slated for and loses, which personally I don't think is that bad an issue, right? See what happened to Chelsea. They ran out of steam against Liverpool because they played the same starting 11, and now 4 days later they have to play Wolves, who've had a week-long rest. If you ask me, from what we've watched, I would be more scared of a Wolves team that's hungry and rested than a Leicester team at this point.
But you know where I'm coming from. I get the feeling he doesn't trust his squad. De Gea had no business, regardless of what had happened before that game. De Gea had no business of playing in that game. It was Romero's game.
Yeah.
When you have a keeper of that caliber and he has played in all your cup games or non-Premier League games, I think Romero should have gotten that game. And you talk about fatigue, you talk about mental fatigue. I don't know what's happening with De Gea, but it gets to a goalkeeper as well. You're playing 3 games a week. You're not running, yes, but there is that, you know, your reflexes, your just mental presence that's needed. And just De Gea has been so off the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't say that it's time to get rid of him, but I'm just saying that somewhere...
He needs to readjust.
He needs to
refocus, yeah.
And playing Romero in the cup would have just sent that small message.
I mean, regardless, that's one small thing Ole could have done. But to be honest, we really didn't do anything in that game with the remaining 10 players.
Yeah.
Right, so... again, would it have been nice to go to another FA Cup final? Yeah. But am I heartbroken about it?
No. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I mean, no one's going to remember us next season for winning the FA Cup, but if we get into the Champions League,
right?
You know, it's a big deal.
Exactly. But you think about it, what's encouraging to me as a fan is, as a supporter, forget the Europa League. We don't know what's going to happen in terms of how far...
Oh, we're in the Europa League? I forgot about that.
Hopefully it doesn't stay that way for next season. But the Premier League, like since January, again, if you consider 60 games a season, one defeat in 20, we got through a third of a season without losing, which is good from all our defensive frailties, right? I mean, we're still not compact at the back. We're still a little wobbly, but I would say a lot better than the last few years we've seen. And the other point I wanted to make was both the cup competitions, though we lost in the semis, it bodes well going forward. It's really promising. The only reason, again, we lost this one was squad depth, right? And the way it was,
true for everyone, though. That's true for all four teams who played.
Yeah, that's true. But again, who's the other team? They won Arsenal, and then they go and lose against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, in the regular season, it might have been different, but we'll take what it is. If you would tell me in December that we'd still qualify for Champions League, probably outright, even without needing to go through qualification, as Harry Maguire said, bit your hand off.
Yeah, I mean, we'll wait to see if we sound this optimistic on Sunday.
Yeah, what I'm not optimistic about is, again, hoping we get in deep into the Europa League. That leaves our guys less than 4 weeks of preseason / rest.
Yeah.
And Ed Woodward, if you're listening, don't fuck up
he's not listening, dude. No one listens to us, you know that, right? It's just us.
we get 2 views every week.
Let's see. I mean, you're right. I'd be more scared if I was Chelsea than Man United. I get it, but honestly, I think it's anyone's day on Sunday. I mean, whoever turns up, it's getting the Champions League spot, and I hope we turn up. But yeah, Chelsea and Wolves. I mean, what an exciting game for the last day, right?
Yeah.
And don't forget, Wolves, if they win it, will only be out of the top 4 by 1 point. So it just shows what a brilliant season they've had.
That's true. Well, yeah, that's right. Well, yeah. Moving on to teams who haven't had such a stellar season. Well,
your vocabulary has not had a very stellar season.
No. Tottenham and Arsenal, the two North London giants, they will definitely not end anywhere in the top 5 at this point. Possibly out of European positions as well, depending on how results go. Bit of fall from grace over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal are in 10th.
Arsenal are a Europa League staple at this point. So.
Yeah, and...
they still have a chance to get through. If they beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final, they get the spot, right?
That's one way to do it.
But it must be disappointing to finish possibly behind the likes of Burnley at this point.
Yeah, I mean, with that squad, with David Luiz being your spear-heading defender, where they are in the table is justified. Burnley have been the best defensive team, one of the best defensive teams. Sheffield have been awesome, and I don't think Arsenal deserve to be in front of them. So, 10th it is for them, but I think the only positive side for Arsenal supporters, I guess, is that Arteta looks promising. It looks like they'll give him time. Mm. They have a couple of exciting young players. They're giving time to Nketiah and Saka. If Aubameyang signs, I think a defender...
I was going to get to that. How imperative it is for Aubameyang to extend his contract at Arsenal.
Very imperative. The fact that he's their captain, the fact that if he leaves, their top goal scorer leaves, they don't have an out and out goal scorer.
Like don't have 20 goal a season striker.
Exactly. It'll be a problem. It'll be a huge void to fill. It's hard to find a striker of that caliber in today's market. So, yes, he'll probably demand a lot of money, more than he deserves, but at this point I don't think Arsenal have an option with the money that they're losing out on. Ozil might as well find a way to get rid of him and invest that on Aubameyang.
And wrapping up the top four, brilliant top four. First season, sorry, top 10, brilliant season back in for Sheffield United, even though they tailed off a little after the lockdown, but taking nothing away from from the excitement they have brought.
Our Liverpool friends would agree. I mean, it's a great achievement for Liverpool. Why do we forget talking about Liverpool? They just lifted the trophy, but I don't think that's important.
Maybe that's why.
Our Liverpool friends won't agree.
I started that for 15 minutes and you just brought it back.
Well, jeez. We got to keep it some balance. We'll lose those few listeners we have. But yeah, I was saying, I think Liverpool friends won't agree. I think winning the first Premier League medal since the inception of the Premier League is a big, big deal for Liverpool. But what Sheffield have done with that squad, with that budget, there is no doubt in my mind that Chris Wilder should be the manager of the year. I don't see anyone else doing it with that squad. And like you said, I think over chat, right? Two seasons back, they were in League One, if I'm not wrong. Not even the Championship.
They're 4 years back, they were in League One. They had three promotions in 4 years.
Yeah, so it's been excellent progression. And imagine if they add a decent striker or two to that squad, that's a rock solid team. And I have absolutely no doubts that they can repeat it again and finish in the top 8 or 10 again.
Call me a cynic, but I'm glad. I hope they don't qualify for the Europa League. I really enjoy watching them as a neutral, and the Europa League for a club like that has, you know, basic resources. You saw what happened to Burnley a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. They qualified and then they had a wretched season because you just can't balance those two competitions. Yes.
And they don't have the money. They don't have the bank to invest.
Exactly. It's exciting that the club's getting European football, but in the long run, they'll be better off not qualifying for Europe.
But to your point, I mean, Burnley is still there. Burnley is just behind Sheffield. So it's not that Burnley have dropped off from where they were.
No, but again, that's because they didn't have that midweek Europa League games, right?
Yeah.
So, great achievement again by Chris Wilder and the Sheffield United squad. I think we can skip over the mid-table. And go to the other end of the table where it's been as thrilling, if not less.
Aston Villa clearly made it a much more exciting end to the season. It's all to play for on the last day, right?
It is.
I forgot the fixtures, but I think if Villa win, they stay up, and Watford and Bournemouth go down. But who are Villa playing again? Who are Watford playing?
Watford is playing Arsenal.
Watford's playing Arsenal and Villa is playing away to West Ham. So, again, two tricky fixtures, right? But
I mean, if you were a betting man, you got to look at the odds, right? What are the odds that Watford...
You know, if I was a betting man...
But you can't bet on Arsenal, you learn that by now.
You know, if I was a betting man, if I had to put money on something, I'd put it on Bournemouth and bet that the other two lose. I think there is more of a chance that Everton lose to Bournemouth. Arsenal beat Watford and West Ham beat Villa. I think that is very much a possibility. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, Bournemouth have... I think the goal difference is just off by one goal. So
yeah,
it's literally a matter of who wins it on the last day.
How unlucky must Bournemouth be feeling? Like, over the last couple of weeks, if you watch them, they have given their all. They've tried their hardest. They came to unlucky deflection off of Josh King's hand to draw against Southampton. Before that, was it the City game or the Chelsea game? Well, they drew again. But you can't say that the Bournemouth players have given up. They're still trying their best.
I think what you're talking about is the Spurs game.
You're right. Where Mourinho whined about Harry Kane's penalty. You're right. But again, it is a very real possibility, but at this point, I think just given momentum is a very weird thing in football. And right now, it's with Aston Villa.
True, but don't forget, all three are, well, not that it matters without any fans, but all three are away games. So none of the field, none of the teams have a home advantage. Not a big deal.
Right now as a home advantage.
Again, not a big deal. But with the current form West Ham are in, I mean, I expect a big, big victory for West Ham. And I'm not saying that but because Antonio is in my draft FPL team. And I want to beat you because you're just behind me. But I expect them to win by 3 or 4 goals. Easy. Watford against Arsenal. Arsenal just came back off of a, well, not came back, came out of a defeat from Aston Villa. So they want to prove who they are in the final game of the season. They want to be well prepared for that cup game. And Bournemouth versus Everton. What do Everton really have to play for on the last day? Absolutely nothing. They're in 11th position. They have nothing to prove. They have nothing to play for. And, you know, Bournemouth have, well, they're the underdogs. No expectations. They're supposed to go down. So that's, if you ask me a question, if I was a betting man, I'd put my money on Bournemouth and I'd possibly lose because I'm a very bad betting man.
But again, it just shows that you can't call this one.
Yeah, it shows why we needed the Premier League in the middle of the pandemic.
I am expecting that WhatsApp group to go off the charts on when all these 10 games are going on simultaneously.
Oh yeah, when Sachin's going to be talking about Liverpool.
And no one else is. Yeah. And going forward a little to the next season, Leeds and West Brom.
Ooh, I couldn't be more excited. I mean,
Loco, El Loco, Marcelo Bielsa back, not back, in the Premier League.
He's a character. He is a character. I mean, we have Guardiola, we have Klopp, we have Mourinho, we have Solskjaer, we have Brendan Rodgers, Arteta. And now we have Bielsa, we have Bilic. I mean, Ancelotti. What an interesting group of characters, right? I couldn't be more excited. I think people will be surprised what they've missed out on in the last, whatever, 15, well, how many years it has been since Leeds played. I think Leeds are going to be very exciting next year. West Brom, I don't expect much, but, you know, it's great to see Bilic back again in the Premier League. They're one of those teams who, on their day, could beat anyone. It's always a tough crowd to go to. So, yeah. And if you've been seeing, I think it's been a crazy ride as far as the playoff spots are concerned as well. So, again, all to play for as far as the third spot in the championship as well.
Oh. Yeah. You know, as you said earlier in the pod, that who knew if we'd ever be watching live football again, and this has been definitely a treat over the last, I won't say two months now, because Bundesliga was pretty interesting as well, watching Bayern saunter to another title. But Premier League is something else, man.
Yeah. I mean, we miss the fans. I think the games are not the same, but, and I hate the water breaks. I think that's a stretch, but you're right. I mean, life at least seems like there is some level of normalcy with the football that's happening.
Yeah. Any last thoughts before we wrap this one up, sir?
No, I am praying to all the gods that I know of. I think you should pray to Jesus Christ as well. We badly need that Champions League spot.
I just realized you have like 330 million gods to play to.
Exactly.
I think you may have started a few months ago.
Right. So yeah, I think we badly need that Champions League spot if we want to get more players. If we need Jadon Sancho to sign for us. So all to play for on Sunday. But for the first time, I think I'm positive about it. I'm not scared of Leicester. So let's see what happens.
Sounds good. And thanks you guys for tuning in again. Let us know your thoughts, your feedback, and keep on keeping on.